start of the soccer show.
The soccer show.
Welcome to the Sox Show on Friday, the 7th of April 2017. And today's lineup includes our techno referee, Howard McCarvey, our music left fielder, Pat Neary, our young star, Tommy McDowell, and myself, Jerry Mulkerrins, is right back behind the mixer this week to preview the weekend's fixtures. So, with all of this to come after the break, live from the GRETV studio here in Ireland. And remember, as ever, terms and conditions always apply. And do try and find the label.
Have you enough balls to listen to the soccer show? WordPress.com. The Soccer Show, for fans only.
Welcome, ladies.
Welcome, Jerry.
Bonjour.
So here we are. We're in. We're once again on to... let's talk about soccer this week. Should we start with the Chelsea-Man City game?
No. Like I said to you before, I'd love to be neutral watching City, because their attacking play is fantastic, but they can't defend. I mean, two goalkeeping errors. The first one came off Vincent Kompany, all right, but he should have kept it out. Second one, penalty saved, and he gives it straight back to Hazard. And like I said in my text to you on Monday night, Hazard was the difference. He was a really, really great player.
Did you watch it live?
I watched it all, yeah.
Did you watch it live, Tommy?
Yeah, I watched it all, yeah.
Okay. Did you watch it?
I didn't, actually, no.
I listened to it on the radio, and it was all City, really. It was hard to listen to. I kept saying I wanted to switch it off, you know. It was difficult enough.
I picked up on reports, both from people, you know, people that were watching it, and then just the newspaper stuff, and online.
I thought it was kind of a poor display. I think
if you watched it, Chelsea just sat back, and if City got an equaliser, they'd have kicked on again and gone up and... Like Kante and Hazard, brilliant. Costa wasn't up to much, though, in fairness.
I don't think he's been up to much since the turn of the year, actually, since that old China business.
Yeah, well, he's probably heading off with Zlatan, isn't he, off to
Shanghai? Yeah, going to earn a few shillings over there, yeah.
Well, I mean, as I said to you, Ger, I think we were in communication during the weekend. The cliche there was, this is 3 points, and that's all that was needed, and... Conte went out and got them. And
I just don't support it. I think if you're going to win the trophy and you're going to go out there, you're at home, you've got the advantage, go out and play football.
Forgive me, but you supported it under various other managers.
I did, under Mourinho.
So,
I did,
you know, I mean...
Jerry, when you get the trophy at the end of the season, it's going to say champions, but we only drew... beat thingy 2-1 isn't going to be there at all.
Now, I didn't see this game, but I mean, I don't think Chelsea can be accused of being ultra defensive this year. No, I mean, they play a counter attacking form of football. They've got Hazard at the top of his game again, and they've included a workaholic like Kante in the middle of the pitch, who's just incredible to watch.
Yeah, give him credit.
They're playing with a really open back three. David Luiz.
I mean, they've got 7 point lead because they've been so good since the Arsenal game at the Emirates. Do you know what I mean?
It can happen, and the Palace result showed you it can happen. Chelsea fairly pummeled them, but I mean, they were beaten.
Yeah, the stats in that, I mean, it was the first time they let in two goals in the first 11 minutes at home since 1995 or something, so yeah, one of them games. But I still do feel nervous, and I think Spurs are really on form.
There's your
problem. They're scoring goals, and they're bringing Kane back now, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, because they might rely on him, he might not be good enough or up to it.
Is Kane
according to today's reports, he's going to be in the squad for the games coming up. And I feel this semi-final that's coming up, that's going to be a kick fest, because I think either they're going to try and put Dele Alli out for the rest of the season, or they're going to try and put Hazard out for the rest of the season in an unsporting like way. I feel the heat.
On PT Sport they had a graphic up, and it was Tottenham were getting beat 1-0 with 90 odd minutes gone, and Chelsea were winning, and they were 10 points clear now. 2 and 3 minutes later, Tottenham have got 3 goals
back. Exactly, That
could be the turning point of the season.
Definitely. You know? And I saw the way Conte was biting his fingernails as well, and there was a clip, wasn't it, where he wasn't too excited to hear that Spurs had won. Did you see that? No?
I didn't, actually, no.
But here's a little jingle.
Yeah, it's just, and there was obviously a punk rock band as well that were listening listening in to us, and they've just fired a few chords at us there.
Too hot to handle. Right, what else? Well, there was a few other games of the week. Anyway, the big important news here in Ireland, wasn't it? Did you see this about the Republic of Ireland women's
disgusting.
Team?
It's absolutely disgusting.
Yeah, I think they did very well in their talks, and I thought the way it was dealt with was awful. I think, I mean, in this day and age, people... getting preparing for games in toilets of airports,
yeah,
for God's sake,
crazy stuff.
And then I happened to hear Noel King on the radio, who works for the FAI and was never short of a few words of criticism himself, trying to defend the situation, which I thought was
When you look at it, Jerry, how hard is it for the FAI to go up to somebody and say, "We sponsor some tracksuits for the women's team. We'll put your name on the back of it."
Yeah, national pride and all that, really.
Of course, yeah. The ultimate achievement is to represent your country at a sport. Mm.
And I thought the women presented themselves well, their case very well, and got everything basically they wanted. I think the FAI don't want to deal with a league of a representative body for the footballers, but it would seem from the press release and from the way it was done that the representative body were there with the women and basically got everything, all the demands.
Good. I mean, and you think striker Stephanie Roach, she was one of the spokes players, wasn't it, at the conference there. I mean, how much kind of credit and publicity did she bring to the Republic of Ireland, really, through the time when she scored that fantastic goal, P-Mount United?
Did it come second
to Messi and Ronaldo?
It came second,
up there.
Yeah.
I mean, they were asking for improved resources, what was it, a match fee of €300, win bonus 150, and a €75 for a draw to cover their unpaid leave from work. But I thought this was interesting, plus a nutrition, strength and conditioning gym membership for the squad and a dedicated goalkeeping coach. You think there would have been one there anyway, didn't it?
I mean, you see teams like Merview United and then Galway, Celtic, they've got all that.
I was very surprised about that. And a provision of team clothing, which they talked about, the jerseys and the jackets and things. Right. And hotel accommodation with Wi-Fi on international away trips.
Standard,
to keep in touch. Yeah, I was quite surprised. Now, the only women's international match I was at was at Tuller. The time Ireland played Scotland, it was a 1-1 draw. I think it was under-17, if I remember right. I mean, there was a red carpet there, there was mayors, there was FAI officials, everybody was there because it was a bit of a grand opening as well a few years later for Tuller FC and their facilities, but, it all looked to be in proper order on that night, anyway.
But Jerry, when you see it grassroots, when you see what the likes of Dennis Hines is doing in Clare, and the girls from Craigmore, Clare Galway, getting to two Irish Cup finals, I mean, they're
staggering, isn't it, really?
It is, when you think of what they have to put up with, I mean, Delaney's getting how much a year? I know he's gone on to a job in FIFA or UEFA.
I suppose you work it out. I mean, if it's £300 for a squad of 22 players, that's a few grand, isn't it, a match? But, as you say, there must be sponsors out there are on the T-shirt that can cover that kind of amount.
Absolutely.
Anyway, they're back in training. They're playing a game against Slovakia, are they, on Monday, so... And they were not going to be treated like dirt anymore. No, fair enough. Okay, what about this one? Barcelona B's 12-0 victory. Was it fixed?
This is getting back to the Argentina versus Peru game.
Well, they've arrested him, though. They've arrested the El Dense manager, Filippo Di Pero. He was arrested over possible corruption. And four players were also questioned.
12-0, can you lose 12-0?
And I saw some of the videos on the social network and they were kind of, they look kind of easy goals now. And it said the huge loss relegated the Valencia-based side from the third tier of Spanish football, and after the match they threatened to not play anymore this season.
They'd be as well off, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I suppose the ones that got relegated. But interestingly, one of the players suggested some of his teammates were throwing the game, telling a radio station before the match that four players were involved in the match fixing, saying, "I don't care what happens, I will give the names of these players." And he added that half an hour before the game, he was starting himself, but then he was taken out of the lineup because he was told if he wanted to play, he should not score goals. And
That's a fairly serious allegation.
That's admitting it.
Like. Yeah, it is. The coach knew something, I'm sure, and the players too. So, 12-0.
What was that to do with, though? Is it betting fixes?
Presumably a betting fix.
I guess so.
I mean, what benefit on the score? Would Barcelona have from winning 12-0 in...
Not really.
Well, unless there's other details to it where it would... Was it the last game of the season?
No, well, obviously if they would refuse to play any more games in the season, there must have been a couple more, but they did get relegated, so it must be as the same as a European season coming.
Yeah, I'd have to see a small bit more info on it to see what the main, we'll say, match-fixing angle is. Yeah. Is it a scoreline? You know, was there a 12-0 scoreline?
What's the worst scoreline you've ever defeat? I was in a game once where we left at half-time and we were 10-0 down many, many moons ago on a park in
Chelsea.
You'd like to think so. But this was a Battersea Boys Club, I think.
I've seen City beat Huddersfield 10-1.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they scored first.
So I missed the unit.
Yeah. Tommy, what was the highest goal-scoring defeat you were ever involved in?
I think it was 14-0.
Wow.
Oh dear. Okay. That was a fix.
I think I refereed that one, didn't I?
Yeah, okay, right.
No, going back to big, big defeats and that, when the kids get beat by 8 and 9, 10, there's nothing worse. So they only put down 3-0 or 4-0.
Yeah, I think on the score sheet, isn't it? Yeah. It's good, demoralising, really. You know, not much fun at all. Okay, it was unbalanced. Right, we got a bit of a question for you here. Right?
This is
go on, bring it to him.
Well, I mean, Howard, this whole thing about the referee, the Newcastle game, I mean, this is a real sort of shoot sort of thing. Ask the ref. I mean, how in hell could that happen?
Everybody knows. It's like everybody knows when the ball goes out over the sideline, you throw it in. Mm. And if you don't throw it in properly...
But first of all, explain, because I don't think Tommy's seen it. What happens?
So awards a penalty. There was encroachment by the Newcastle players.
Right,
I think
it was a Newcastle penalty, so the attacking team, yeah?
And the referee gave an indirect free kick out to Barnett. Was it Barnett?
Burton. Yeah.
Whereas everybody knows that if you encroach, you disallow the goal. If he scores it, if the goalie saves it, it's a save, right? But if the ball goes in the back of the net, it's restarted again by a retake of a penalty kick. That's the same as everybody knows.
So that's if both teams encroach into it, or if the attacking team encroaches.
If the attacking team encroaches and the goalie saves it, you play on.
Right.
If the attacking team encroaches and he scores, you retake it.
Right, okay.
If the defending team encroaches and he misses, you take it again.
Right, I got you.
Right? It's everybody knows it. Yeah. It's common sense.
Well, you would have thought so. Obviously, the referee on the night got it. I thought it was quite interesting. Burton Albion's manager, of course, was Brian Clough's son, wasn't it?
Nigel Clough, yeah.
So I'd say he had a couple of words about it, but... on this occasion, it seems like he tripped over the Burton Albion defender on his way in.
For the penalty. I didn't see the penalty,
I think so. I think they were all running in.
I didn't see that. I saw the penalty. And
I mean, the penalty was given. Like, so that's it. Like.
So he scored the penalty, but he gave the free kick because I thought he said that one of the Newcastle attacking players tripped up one of the defending players in the box.
He's just trying to get away with it. What I've heard is I didn't actually see the incident. I read about it today on the internet. And the assistant linesman, or the assistant referees, have tried to tell him that he's wrong, but he's not taking their advice either.
Wrong.
No, I am right. I am right. It's an indirect free kick out.
Fair enough.
But when is that indirect free kick taken? Is it taken?
It will be taken around the penalty spot.
But at what stage would it be taken?
You restart the game.
Yeah.
Instead of having another penalty with an indirect free kick, that's what he's done.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean that was wrong.
That is definitely wrong. It should have been a retake.
So. Where is he getting the indirect free kick out from? Where is he confusing himself?
Maybe they've recently brought in the laws that if an incident happens where the ball is or where the ball isn't, you restart with an indirect free kick from that area. Like, if you're down the attacking end and there's a defender and a striker up the other end and the defender punches the striker, It's a penalty up the other end.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe he's getting confused with that.
Okay. Right, okay. Keith Stroud, wasn't it? He said he lost a bit of concentration and misapplied the law.
He's a professional referee.
But it can happen. But no. again, it's
Jerry,
it comes down to video technology. He should be there all the time.
Shouldn't need it for that.
No, you shouldn't need it for that. It just doesn't make sense at all.
No.
If that happened and I was the linesman or the assistant referee, the flag would go straight up,
right,
and he'd come over and he'd say, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, that's, you've given the wrong decision there." And he'd go, "S-H-L-T." And everyone would say, "Yeah, idiot." And everyone would get on. But he wouldn't be told that he was wrong. So, where, like you say, Pat, where's he getting the idea that it's an indirect free kick?
It was just one of those weirdest ones. You know, it was really odd.
There's always ref, controversy, isn't there, each week? And, of course, who was the one who came out last week and he didn't blame it? He'd been on the stag night. They'd all been on the stag night, I think. And he came out afterwards and said it's nothing to do with it.
That was the Altrincham fan from United.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, I heard he's not going to be refereeing this week anyway. He's going to take a week out, I suppose.
Would you like him to see him come running out again with your team?
Yeah. Well, there was a ref one time, I mean, many years ago, Alan Hudson scored a goal for Chelsea against Ipswich, and it proved it never went in. There's film footage of the time, and it hit the back stanchion and came out on the outside. Looked like a great goal from a distance,
everything was from a distance at Chelsea then, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was, yeah, the old running track around it, yeah. I heard they're trying to look to move to West Ham I don't see that working.
It's going to be called the Vodafone Stadium as well, I heard that. They're changing the name to the Vodafone Stadium.
Is that right? Yeah. Ring, right.
More money.
Okay. Right, see, there's been a couple of replace managers. Dave Robinson last week when he was Sligo Rovers manager, and 2 days later he's left by mutual agreement on Wednesday afternoon.
That's
making
what happens
him the
when
second
you can't
boss.
Beat Galway United, is it?
Well, I mean, to be honest, I thought that was the right result. I thought a draw was a fair reflection on the night's game, really. But that followed Martin Russell's departure from
Limerick.
That's a surprise because he's been done very, very well last year. Even the year before, wasn't he the manager when they got relegated?
He was.
And they kept on to him.
And considering, so many, just a few games, but was there some talk of the chairman left Limerick as well? Was there some movement
going on? Since Pat Gray's famous fried chicken has been there, there's always been messy football.
Okay, fair enough.
There's one lad, his sixth year in my school, plays for Limerick. He's a goalkeeper for the youth team.
Right, okay, so he'd have a bit of inside knowledge of it already.
Should have brought him in.
Yeah, well, it's Willie John Boland. Do you remember him? He's been confirmed as the interim manager at Limerick. He played for Coventry City.
Never really.
I don't.
Last year he was the academy director, and he had a short spell as player in 2010 for them. And Declan McIntyre, he will take control of Sligo Rovers first team as a temporary basis this weekend. Right, what about this goal? Did you see this one?
I did. Yeah, perfect.
Brilliant.
Yeah, fantastic.
No. Explain.
Very similar. Well. Yes and no. Very similar to David Beckham's one against Wimbledon. But it was the ball was petered about in the centre field area, and just, I'd say, about maybe three or four yards inside his own half, out onto the right touchline. It came to him, and. I mean, he just looked up and he did see the keeper. The keeper was out around the penalty spot, between the penalty spot and the box. And he let fly.
Was it windy?
It wasn't that windy, no. And it went in, it hit the back of the net. It wasn't a bouncing ball around my
halfway
it
line, audacious kind of
was,
chip.
It was just,
I bet it was difficult for you being a Bose fan, though, because it was against your club, wasn't it?
Yeah. But it was still a really good goal. I mean, and it came just at an important time. It was just before half time. Put them 2-0 up, and. It was a really, really good goal.
We might get a few more of them this weekend. We might get some tomorrow, because just before we leave this section, a reminder, there's a Legends match at AIM in DC Park tomorrow. Galway Legends play the Republic of Ireland Legends. The kickoff, I think, is 2:30, featuring Ronnie Whelan, Ray Houghton, Andy Townsend, Tony Cascarino. Never heard of them. No. Preceded by a junior match that I think you're running the line at.
I am, yeah. The under-12s are playing the under-13 Galway.
And is this a charity?
It is. All the benefits is going to promoting juvenile soccer in Galway.
Right. Galway area. It's the Galway FA, is it? Yeah, really. Okay. And I think there's a Legends kind of questionnaire tonight in one of the pubs in town,
answers,
isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
So if you want to go down to that, it's 10 o'clock or €10, I think, this evening. Anyway, but the match is tomorrow, so we'll see if the legs
minute,
or the heads
now,
work
on a second
for them.
Now. Andy Townsend, Chelsea. Mm. Tony Cascarino, Chelsea. Yeah. You've never heard of them.
I'm only joking. Yeah, sure. Who put the ball in the Italian net?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, there we go. There might be a few questions for him. You never know. I might get a microphone out amongst that. Right, anyway, little break. Here we go. And after this one. Right, okay, a few jingles going on there. Right, League of Ireland predictions last week. Hey, I'm the champion again. 4 to me, 3 to you, Howard, and 2 to Pat. Of course, Tommy wasn't with us last week because we did it on a Thursday.
You still beat me.
Yeah. I'm getting better. I'm learning as we go along. It's taken a long time. Looking at some of the results there, Cork City, we all got that, didn't they? They beat Limerick 3-0.
Yeah.
We all got Dundalk, that they beat Drogheda United 3-1. So they got the bragging rights against the 10-man United. I got the Galway United and Sligo, which, of course, the original match was postponed because of that huge storm. And then they replayed.
Yeah, you were obviously there, were you?
Yeah, the storm. Yeah, it was biblical, man. It just came in a whole sheet.
Yeah.
And he was there. Tommy was with me, too. And a sheet of rain. And the ref came out. He tried to roll the ball in about 3 or 4 places on the pitch. I mean, it was strange because there was pictures the following morning when they had a matches played, some junior matches played, or a women's Galway women's match was played.
Yeah.
Pitch was perfect.
Yeah.
So it just came down. It was just that moment. It just wasn't meant to be played. So we all, but it did affect the crowd. I think there was supposed to be about 2,000, maybe, that first game. And I think they recorded 800 of this game on Monday.
It's
so
hard to get up
difference.
There on Monday night. As
yeah.
Well,
and there was a little bit of rain on that night as well. But as I say, that ended 1-1. Of course, we spoke about St. Pat's and that wonder goal, hammering your lot, really, in that derby.
Yeah.
And Bray Wanderers, they got a very stoppage time winner, didn't they, to spoil Derry City's a comeback, which was an emotional night, wasn't it, at Mangin Park there, because they paid tribute to their late captain Ryan McBride. So, and the table says Cork City, they're just running away with it, aren't they, at the moment? Played 7, won 7.
Yeah, it's a perfect start, and they've got Derry tonight, and I don't see anything other than a home win there.
Derry City good side, though.
Derry City are a good side, but, travel all the way the length of the country down to Cork, who are
true.
You know, it's I think Cork. Anyway, we'll go into predictions.
Let's kick off on that because that's our first one, and I mean, because there's a lot of talk. Of course, when you're doing well, the team's doing well, and the players are doing well, there's always somebody touting for them in there. And I see their in-form striker Sean Maguire. There's a few English clubs now are looking at him there. I suppose the transfer window doesn't open, does it, between England and Ireland until the summer? But
when you see the players that have gone over in the last couple of years and how well they're doing, then they're going to be looking at the top teams in the League of Ireland for the players.
I mean, he's opened the scoring on 5 occasions this season. He's getting all the plaudits, you know.
Yeah, and he's created goals and he's playing quite well.
Turner's Cross, so I guess they expect huge crowds.
That'd be massive, They love the football down in Cork.
Must be earning a couple of quid down there with it.
Yep.
So what's the other sports like down in Cork City?
Oh, hurling and
well, hurling and football have gone back a lot, actually.
Yes.
I mean, just in terms of they were normally both, you know, Cork would be a very sporting area, but in terms of both the Gaelic codes, they've certainly lost the sheen that they had, we'll say, coming up until, I say, the late 90s. The last 10 or 15 years has been quite a barren spell for Cork.
Is that because of the success of the football?
I don't know. I mean, there's various there's debates about it within the GAA side of it, and then regarding competitive games or competitive sporting games. So I really don't know, but and I suppose they provide a backbone as well, rugby-wise, Cork, too, you know, so... their soccer, they're well into their soccer.
It's looking like their season anyway. Of course, their boss, John Caulfield, he said his side need to stay disciplined to maintain their 100% start.
Yep.
Well...
It's suppose that's
fair enough, Mr.
manager's
Caulfield.
Term, isn't it? Yep. You know, right? Should we take spin the dice?
Yeah, well, I'm going to go for a Cork home win.
Cork home win.
Thomas?
Cork for me.
Okay, I agree with you three. Right, next, of course, well, Galway United, they travel to the Carlisle ground. They take on Bray Wanderers.
Well, this will be interesting because Bray have scored a lot of goals this season and they've also conceded a lot. Now, it really depends on how you think. You've got a bit more of an insight on how Tommy thinks. I mean, like, has Galway's defence been good? Can Galway defend? You know,
they had some moments. They played great football against Sligo Rovers the other day. You know, a lot of short pass the ball up, pass back, move. You know, they
don't seem to be scoring enough.
No, the front line seems to need to be putting them away. There's been some good crosses going in, but there's not people meeting them on the end, you know.
I just fear with Bray's record this season that they'll maintain their goal-scoring prowess and I don't see anything other than a home win.
Okay, I mean, they beat Drogheda 1-0, didn't they, away in the EA Cup on Tuesday night. Maybe a weakened string, but I mean, Galway United, I think they can pluck a draw from this.
They've got to turn them draws into wins, though, Jerry, if
they do.
Have a chance to.
But it's still early in the season. This is the first round. You have three rounds, don't you, really, in the League of Ireland. So, I mean, you know, draw for me, home win for you.
Go on, put me down for Galway United to win. They've got to win sooner or later.
Tommy?
The percentages.
Galway for me.
Okay. So, two going for the away win. Well, let's hope they do it. Anyway, right, Drogheda take on Shamrock Rovers. United Park, it's 11th versus 6th. What's this talk of Robbie Keane joining Shamrock Rovers?
I haven't heard this at all.
No,
April 1st, was it?
Yeah, maybe.
That came out?
I think so.
Of course, the host, they're aiming to put an end to a six-game losing streak. Drogheda, of course, they started well. They beat Galway, didn't they, first game of the season. Boss Pete Mann said losing can become a habit, so they need to find a cutting edge. But you have to remind themselves that it's 12 years since the Boynesiders, they defeated the Dubliners at home in the league. So 12 years is a long time, isn't it? And they'll also be without their Brennan brothers while Kieran McGuigan is suspended. So it's looking in favour of Shamrock Rovers,
I think. I
would agree. No way.
Okay. I mean, they have been under a bit of pressure because they were expected to do a lot better. You know, they're only in six, but Shamrock Rovers, how are you going for this, Thomas?
I'm going to go for Shamrock.
Okay, right. Okay, I agree with you, lads. Right, St. Pat's take on Limerick. Of course, Liam Buckley's praised his team, and of course they had that beautiful halfway line goal that you spoke about earlier. They informed the Richmond Park side to beat Bluebell United. Are they from Dublin, are they?
Yeah.
1-0 in the Cup in midweek, Billy Dennehy header, and they take on the Blues. Of course, as we mentioned earlier, they've got an interim boss in charge now, Willie John Boland, following the departure of Martin Russell. Interestingly, both sides on 7 points from seven games. So does that mean there's going to be a draw?
No, I don't think it does. I think the form is with St. Pat's. They seem to have just picked it up in the last two games, and they've had very impressive results. I wasn't expecting what they did to Bowes last weekend. And I think with an interim manager and Limerick in a slight sort of sense of confusion, Pats will probably take advantage and it'll be a home win.
Yeah, I think Limerick's biggest mistake was getting rid of the manager during the week. I mean, the guy's done so much for them. And I think probably be demoralised, and St. Pat's will win that one.
A draw for me.
Yeah, I go for a draw. I don't know, is that the Limerick in us, is it? Must be. Right, okay. I think somebody can go either way with a new manager, can't it? They either fight or they fall over. Right, Finn Harps take on Dundalk, of course, 7th against 2nd. It's 8 p.m. The champions, they won their Louth derby last time out, but they're 6 points short of Cork. They've lost their right back Sean Gannon to injury, but their boss Stephen Kenny believes that he will come back stronger from that injury. But we wondered, will Finn Park cause a stumbling block here for the Lily Whites on their
road? I think they'll know that if they fall any further behind Cork, then it's going to be farewell to the title. So that, I think they'll win that and just stay 6 points behind Cork.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they'll be too strong for them.
Yeah, I think Finn Harps will give Dundalk ask them some questions, but And they were unlucky against Shamrock Rovers last weekend, Finn Harps. But I do think that Dundalk should just have enough for them, and it'll be a tight 1-0 win, maybe.
Tommy, away victory or home victory or draw?
Away victory for me.
Okay, right. And finally, we got Sligo Rovers take on Bohemians. This is on Saturday at the Showgrounds. Of course, the temporary boss Declan McIntyre is in charge following Dave Robertson's departure. And the Gypsies, they beat the Cabinteely 1-0 in the Cup in midweek. Strike from Stephen Nolan, and their boss Keith Long is complaining a bit because there's a casualty list, he says, in the dressing room after the winger Jamie Doyle has become the latest long-term injured player, and they're already without Owen Weiran and, of course, their player Izzy Akinadi.
Yeah.
A spleen injury, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, Bose, you're going to bounce back, are you?
Well, I was so far out of it last weekend in terms of my prediction. But again, just going on the managerial up sort of swing. Now, this might work differently for Sligo.
Yeah.
So,
Declan McIntyre, did he used to play for Galway United?
He did.
I knew the name sounded.
I mean, there's
half,
a few connections, isn't there? I found that out the other night between Sligo Rovers and obviously Connacht, you know, players in between.
My heart says Bowles, but I think actually Sligo will get a home win here.
Right.
Yeah, I think it'd be a draw.
I'm going for the draw. Mm-hmm. And yourself, young Thomas? Young Thomas?
A draw for me as well.
Okay, there you go. So put your pennies on that. Right, okay, let's move on over. We'll have one more little jingle, will we, after this? There you go. Right, okay, last week's predictions in the English League. Hey! Jerry got 5, Howard got 4, and Pat got 3. Of course, Thomas wasn't with us, as we mentioned earlier. What ones did we not go? Of course, Chelsea Palace, that's... None of us got that right, did we? There was a complete shock all round, except for Crystal Palace fans. Liverpool-Everton. And Liverpool put on a good display, didn't they? None of us got that.
I didn't see it, but I believe they were great. But
Pat, you got the Man United-West Brom. You knew Mourinho would get another home draw.
I did, actually. Yes. And I went... I doubled it with... I mean, I normally do my little bet on a Saturday because I just try and get it as close to the games as possible to see if the teams, you know, what, you know, is there injuries or whatever. And I actually doubled it with Bournemouth to win away.
At Liverpool?
Bournemouth were, playing Swansea, was it? Or
Southampton. Yeah, South Coast. Yeah.
And Harry Arter.
Oh,
had a penalty with 4 minutes to go.
Did you see that about the penalty spot, though? They put a new penalty spot in now.
Yeah. I mean, like, they showed the Harry Kane penalty as well.
Yeah, identical.
Mean, basically, the penalty spot moved. Not on its own.
Did you see the finger?
They showed Harry Kane's penalty from 6 months ago, and then Harry Arter's was the same. The standing foot lifted the turf the penalty spot raised, and of course the ball was, you know, not where the ball was for the shooting foot.
I mean, when they have the sprinklers under the ground, don't they, them parts of the turf, they lift up, don't they?
They do, but they don't. I don't think they're in
the
strategic
spot.
Places. I remember a few years ago at Derby that there was no grass on the pitch, and Derby got a penalty against City, and they had to bring on the guy with the white paint and pace it out.
That must be 40 years ago.
That was
the baseball ground.
It was, and I think it was the 76.
Oh, I do.
I remember that.
Golden era. Yeah. Let's talk about it all day long.
There wasn't a blade of grass on the pitch.
Tommy's looking at us like, what? Like we thought of the 20s when we were growing up. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, okay. Well, anyway, back to this. I got a share of the spoils. Arsenal Man City, I did think that would be a draw, so, but had no money on it like you, Mr. Pat Neary. We all got West Ham to lose at Hull. What else? And we all got the draw at Southampton Bournemouth, so there you go. Well done, Harry Arter, there for us getting a draw here. Because
they're in point. Like, I actually backed Bournemouth.
Yeah, What you're saying on here, you got to believe it, you know? You've got to go out back it up, like, you know what I mean?
Check it
out.
Can't
all be bottle shit on air now. Like, you know. Yeah,
you wouldn't want to back Andy Carroll on Friday.
Anyway, I won, lads, you know what I mean? I'm getting confident here now.
You're slipping, though, Jerry. You normally get 100%.
Well, I think both myself and Harrod said last week if Andy Carroll played, and I think West Ham win one up, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I was thinking, this looks like Andy Carroll territory. And
but I was thinking of you, Pat, when I was watching the Bournemouth, the United game when it was 0-0 West Brom. I was going, Pat got that right.
Right, okay, so, I got the Spurs one right. Anyway, 2-0. I wish I hadn't, but there you go. Right, let's move on to this week's. We've got 10 of them, and let's move on fast.
Okay.
And we're going to start with the Spurs. They're playing Watford 12:30, so I'm hoping that the Hornets will have an extra sting in their tail.
No chance.
And to please Antonio Conte, stop them chasing us, keeping us on our toes. What do you think? No.
They were saying there that if Spurs win, what is it? And
4 points.
Because they play earlier than Chelsea, don't they?
And the next game as well.
Yeah.
So this week and the following week. Okay. So if we were happen to go down at Bournemouth and they win, and they win, there'd be a point.
And that could happen, you know. Bournemouth
don't stop it. you've been on the other side of that one. That's City, I can't. I don't know. Because to me, in some of this, there's been so much confidence. It's Chelsea's league. Yep. Like Leicester last year, they're going to run away with it and take it. And then Hazard's off and Costa's off and the manager and it's all over and done and dusted.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
You can't count your chickens, really.
But I think, though, Jerry, you'll find that it's fans of other teams that see it that way, not fans of the team that's involved in it, because footballers have a habit of biting you in the backside.
Well, my nails are short enough, Anyway, Spurs Watford 12:30. Interesting stats is that Watford have not won at White Hart Lane in their last six visits. They've never scored more than once in any of their pre-7 top flight meetings. And of course, they need Troy Deeney to pull one out of the bag, as he scored against 41 other teams except the Spuds, as it's written.
Yeah, Spurs for me.
Yeah, Spurs. I'd almost back Spurs with a handicap on this one.
Yeah, okay. Tommy?
A draw for me.
Good man. Yeah, I'm going to go for Watford.
Oh, yeah, you've got Watford friends, haven't you?
Yeah, Watford, you know. Well, going to Weimar, I did have a trial for Watford. Did you know that, Les?
No, I didn't.
I did, yeah.
You
I played on Vicarage Road. Yeah, I did indeed. But Watford was very far from Battersea, and I couldn't really fulfilled. And Watford, I think, were fourth division at that time anyway. So anyway, I'm going for Watford. Come on, Watford. Right, Man City.
Were you groupieing for Elton John that time?
That's right, yeah. I think it was before Elton John's. I remember the dressing rooms weren't up to much anyway.
Anyway.
Man City take on Hull City. Pep's, of course, he had a mutual respect, didn't he, for Conte after the midweek loss. And even though they controlled large parts of that match. But now they return to Manchester after a couple of London trips. But they'll need to keep an eye on the Tiger as Silver's team sparkle.
Yeah, we've got to win this because United are... Well, no, they're in sixth, but never mind. But Liverpool are in with a chance. I mean, that was a great score for us, for Bournemouth to get the equaliser at Liverpool, because it puts them 2 points further back.
Interesting challenges going on there, isn't there? The third and fourth place, isn't it, really?
Yeah, we're out of the league now, and... Two hard matches after coming out of Chelsea and Arsenal. I think we'll win on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree. I think despite how well Silva has done with Hull, I just think Man City will open them up.
You don't see Silva getting any gold?
No.
Or turning into gold? No.
David Silva will be playing his 200th game, I think. On
Saturday. I agree. I think City will win that. Tommy?
Man City for me as well.
Yeah, okay, home victory for all of you. Although fair respects to Hull, they've been doing well, haven't they, since your man come in, you know. Alright, Middlesbrough Burnley is a 6-pointer again, is it, for Middlesbrough. Dejected Borough fans, they fear a return to the Championship after, of course, that defeat at Hull. And this is a must-win Riverside game for them to survive and stop the Clarets achieving their first away victory this term. Borough have lost 5 of 6. They scored just 7 in 13 games, with 2 of them, of course, coming in midweek. Burnley 1-1, which when they beat Stoke 1-0 on Tuesday in the first win in 6. So neither team with great form going into it.
Draw for me, this one. Burnley will be delighted to get a draw up there. and another game chalked off that they don't have to play.
Yeah, they are. They won't get their away. I mean, tricky match. I'm not too sure. Go on.
Burnley for me.
Away win.
I'm with Herd as well on this. I think it'll be a draw.
A draw. Borough need it. I mean, they really, really need don't they? I give them a bit of luck on their side, and I'm going to go for a Borough home win. Right, Stoke Liverpool. Of course, Jurgen Klopp, he's ordered his players to be more like Chelsea.
Yeah, well.
Does that mean they're going to play in blue, is it?
Well, they need to start defending like Chelsea.
Did you start scoring?
Yeah, well, it's been their, what do they call it? Their
Achilles heel.
Yeah, I suppose you'd get the Coutinho screamer against Everton.
Well, they scored some good goals against Everton. They did indeed, yeah. A big derby match like that. But of course, don't they do well in them bigger matches?
Well, they usually do.
Yeah. What did they call them? The Robin Hood Club. They take from the rich and give to the poor.
Brilliant.
Oh, okay. But of course, the Bet365 Stadium, I think that's what it's called in Stoke, isn't it? It's a typical old place to play.
The Victoria Ground.
The Victoria. Yeah, I know they moved from that, didn't they? Yeah.
They did. They built a new ground and called it Bet365.
In our heads, they never moved, did they?
I'm sorry, maybe it's just my inane sort of narcissism, but I hate all of those.
I do as well.
Sponsored name stadiums.
Like St James's Park used to be called the Sports Direct Arena.
Absolutely.
I mean, Stoke. Well, of course, we remember them.
I mean, I'd call Lansdowne Road Lansdowne Road. Yeah.
What about Terryland?
Terryland.
Amy DC Park.
I still
call it Terryland. You know. You're on to Terry Lane on Friday.
Confusing, I suppose, if you have just landed on a plane. Get a taxi, where are you going to? Terry Lane, where's Terry Lane?
I suppose. But Terry Lane is also an area around that.
I mean, I still say I'm going to Main Road next. No, I'm going to the Etihad next.
Anyway,
true. Well, there's only a few. So Stamford Bridge has always been, and Old Trafford.
Yeah, wait till they build the new one.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, it'll be
the Tesco Stadium.
I mean, I think the worst in the League of Ireland is the Hunky Dory Stadium. That's in the GAA. Isn't it?
The one in Longford is called something ridiculous.
Sorry, it's the Longford one. Yeah. The Hunky Dory Stadium.
Hunky Dory Stadium.
David Bowie, if he was still
not
alive.
Unfortunately, not Bowie.
They run out to Hunky Dory.
Anyway, Stoke Liverpool. Okay, Mark Hughes, against Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah. I have a funny feeling that's going to be a draw as well. I don't know.
I see a Stoke victory. They haven't been doing that great in a while. They've got to turn it around at some point.
Yeah, I think Stoke. I actually do agree with you. I think Stoke could really annoy those Scousers.
And as I say, it all gets really nervous. Top four. Thing.
Mark Hughes as well. Something about Hughes.
He has a team there that reminds me of the Irish international team, because there's no great superstars, but they're all great at doing their jobs.
Really difficult team to figure out. Stoke. They've been this year's Everton. I just can't figure them out in.
They go on a run, don't they? A good run, and then twist it round and fall asleep for a while. Yeah, Tommy, Stoke against Liverpool.
Liverpool for me.
West Brom take on Southampton. 8th meet 9th. It's an outside battle for the final Europa Cup place, because the 7th place is up for grabs after Man United, of course, beat the Saints at Wembley back in March. The Baggies, as we know, they're always been solid under Tony Pulis, and they won 2-1 at St Mary's back on New Year's Eve when we were all out celebrating. But the Saints look like they're going to recall Gabbiadini and Buffon, but they'll miss out on Bertrand and Austin. So 2 in and 2 out.
Sure, Austin's been gone for a while with an injury, hasn't he?
Yeah.
0-0 for me.
I mean, fair play to West Brom for going to Old Trafford last week, and Mourinho coming out and saying all they did was park the bus. I mean, talk about the kettle in the pan.
This is the man that invented parking.
Well, he didn't quite invent it, but he did like to,
Well, I mean, that phrase came about. He came out with that phrase against Spurs. Mm.
That's right. I remember we were in the hotel over there.
I was in Ibiza.
Well, yeah. You're lucky, man. At least some crack. We were over the road.
Can we get back to the...
sorry.
Holidays. We're all going on holidays.
Yeah, I think West Brom win this, because Southampton are safe and they're only playing out the season. So
okay, Baggies for you.
Yeah.
Tommy?
Southampton for me.
Okay. I think this will be another draw.
Okay, there we go. One of us is going to pick up the point there. Right, West Ham against Swansea. Talk of Di Canio in and Bilic out if Hammers lose this one after. Of course, there's five defeats on the bounce. The Swans, of course, threw away that awful lead they had against Spurs in injury time on Wednesday. And their boss, Dave Clement, has got a lot of work to do to save them from the relegation battle.
I think he's done a great job since he's been in there because...
Started well.
We were tipping him from August to go down. West Ham are no great shakes, and I feel sorry for Bilic because Di Canio isn't going to be any improvement on him.
Mm. Absolutely not. No. I'd be really worried if
it's just bringing
Canio
in a crowd favourite there, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but also a crowd favourite that has
done nothing
in terms of. In fact, his managerial record is really odd.
Awful. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Is that an April Fool?
You might as well get Trevor Brooking in there or something like that, you know.
You're doing very well with them headphones anyway, aren't you? It's flopping around you on the ear there. You know?
I'd put down Swansea for an away win. I have a funny feeling they will because they
good
can counter.
Yeah. Yeah, true. They play well. Thomas?
West Ham for me.
You're just saying the opposite to what I'm saying, aren't you?
I'll go for a draw.
Yeah. A draw, and I'll agree with Pat Neary on the draw for that, for one of us. Right, Bournemouth, Chelsea, 5:30. Of course, Blues boss Conte says the club needs 6 wins from 8 to lift the title. They won 4-1 at Bournemouth Ground. Is it the Gold? What's it called?
Bournemouth.
The Vitality Stadium.
Fantastic. He knows all the.
What was it called before, though? What was the old Bournemouth Ground called?
Was it the Goldstone, or was that Brighton?
That was Brighton.
Look
it up there on your phone.
Yeah, exactly. Quick. Anyway, Chelsea won there 4-1 last year, I remember. But, of course, they lost to Bournemouth 1-0 at home, didn't they? It was Mourinho's last home game.
Yeah, that was when... Was it Harry Arter or something? No, it was Cook scored a last-minute header.
Yeah, it was a header, that's right. And, of course, Nathan Aké, he's been bobbed between the two teams this year. And there was John Terry joining Bournemouth back in December, wasn't there? Eddie Howe, he knows his team are capable... And of course, they got a good draw at Anfield. They've been doing well the last few games. Actually, they're on form. So I think this is quite a tough game. I don't think it's going to be that easy for Chelsea.
You've
I think they win
that,
it.
No.
They win it. I think it's just going to be the old goal. I don't think.
Was it Dean Court? Was the old ground? Yeah. Okay.
Quicker than Google.
Born with Chelsea. The way Chelsea played against Palace and the way they were very lucky the other night, like with the goals and that. I could see Bournemouth getting something from that, you know.
That smile.
No, but especially if
where's that ejector seat?
No, especially if Tottenham get the result earlier on against Watford and puts it down to 4 points.
I agree. I'm nervous.
It won't be easy, But having said that, now it'd be great for me as a neutral to sit down and watch
watch the two of them fucking bite it out for the next.
Tommy, what do you think?
Chelsea
for me.
The youth. Yeah, he's got no.
The
fear
confidence
of the past.
And I'll accept Tommy's confidence.
Yeah,
and,
I think it will go a little bit further, and I do.
Put
I think
me
we'll
down for a draw
win.
For that one.
A draw. Then. Yeah. Okay. Right. I've gone for the 1-0. Right, and finally, is this the final match?
No.
There's a couple more, yeah. Sunderland-Man United.
This is going to be just hell for Manchester United supporters because it would be just absolute karma if David Moyes was to get a point or three from Manchester United at the moment. At the moment, I would also think that Mourinho has put himself under a serious amount of pressure. I don't think there's any successful manager has ever publicly criticised his players and got away with
as
it.
As much.
Yeah.
So the way he's treated
Luke Shaw is really... Yeah. I think it's
it's bullying.
He said about him, that basically when he got him onto the pitch on, was it Tuesday or Wednesday night?
Tuesday.
That the reason Shaw did so well it was that he was being coached in his head by Mourinho on the touchline. Yeah. What are you saying?
Well, it was them big strings that hang down from the top of the stands that were pulling his legs up.
He's been the same with Mkhitaryan, he's been the same with Martial and Rashford and Mata previously. In fairness with Mata,
He did.
I don't know. I think Man United, if they don't get a Champions League spot, I think it's all gone south again.
Right.
Yeah. Like, there's been saying that David Moyes has a better home win percentage than Mourinho this season.
Both Moyes and Van Gaal.
Yeah, I've had a better home win percentage than Mourinho.
And I mean, people that travel, they get people from all around the world go to Old Trafford, and they don't really expect them to draw. They expect to go there, big day out.
So United 3 points. So they're the list, aren't
they? Now, I haven't said that. I mean, I think if Man United were playing anyone else in the top, in the bottom six, they could be in trouble. I gave Sunderland one last gasp a week or two ago, and that's it. Mm. I don't think they have it. So I expect United to win, but it would be almost karmic if something happens in this game.
Mm. I'm going to go for the shock and go for the Sunderland home win, because I think United have their eyes on the Europa Cup. If they win that, they're in the Champions League. Season sorted. They won the League Cup and they're in the Champions League. Season over. Mourinho's
a season
hero.
Season sorted. They've a quarter final, two-legged semi-final,
and a final. And Chelsea are in between that. Do you know that in the fixture list? Yeah. Do you know that? So
as I say, I just think, I mean, there's been a couple of commentators have said it. I think publicly condemning your players,
I don't think
it works.
No. No, but deflecting, you know, the pressure from himself.
Well, when you think what Luke Shaw went through with that leg break and getting back and everything,
it's absolutely,
you know what I mean?
It's
an awful thing to say.
Well, there's some talk, you know, that because, you know, he tried to sign him for Chelsea and he wouldn't sign from Southampton.
I heard that story, but you know, surely it couldn't be that petty.
Don't know.
Well, I mean, as far as I can see, folks, and I don't like going, but ever since that Eva Carneiro,
the doctor.
Doctor. His everything Mourinho has touched since then has almost turned.
Yeah. So he's the same problem then with Mata as well, because he didn't rate him at Chelsea and he's got him at United.
No. Well, he got rid of Lukaku.
Lukaku.
And now it looks like they're going to buy him back for 65 million. It's fucking a crazy club. Yeah. Anyway, so Sunderland for me, home win for you, away win for you.
Disneyland win.
An away win. I think it will be an away win.
I think Disneyland United will win.
Okay. So. And Tommy. Vote.
A draw.
Draw for you. Right, again, one of us. Right, what have we got left then? We've got two, haven't we? Right, we've got Everton-Leicester. That's an interesting game. 4 p.m. on Sunday. Rumours, of course, we just mentioned about Lukaku to rejoin Chelsea. They're done and dusted. But they'll need his firepower to dent the Foxy's spirit. Of course, Shakespeare is doing great with them, isn't he? I mean, their momentum. And it turns out that he could equal Pep Guardiola and Ancelotti's record of consecutive wins as a new manager, because it would be six on the trot, would it? However, Everton have won the last six home games. They've kept five clean sheets and scored 22 in the process.
Yeah, it's...
Somebody said that if the season went on till the end of June, Leicester would retain the English championship.
Oh my God. It's not a great time to be playing Leicester, in fairness. What's he won, six games on the trot?
He's won.
Well, with the Champions League, is six on the trot.
Is it six or five?
I think it's five.
It's
five league games and six.
Anyway, it's impressive. And
Everton have a lot of injuries, haven't they?
Everton have a good few injuries.
Coleman. McCarthy.
Williams is out because he got sent off.
Oh, yeah, you straight red.
In the last game against Liverpool, didn't it?
Could Leicester United, do it?
My mistake.
Yeah, Leicester could do it.
I think Leicester will do it, to be honest with you, because they're on a roll. And Everton, like you said last year, Pat, you wouldn't put them down as a banker against anybody.
No, and you know.
So is this our outside away tip of the week? Then is it?
Ooh, it could be. Yeah, it could be an away win for Leicester. I'll certainly look at the odds, and have a look at them tomorrow.
Okay, but on here right now,
I'm going Leicester. Yeah,
I'll go a draw.
Okay, Thomas.
Everton for me.
Everton for me.
Right, okay, well, that means I think the referee will win. Right, interesting game. Right, Leicester. Right, Crystal Palace Arsenal, Monday, 8 p.m. Can the Gunners maintain their form to get back into the top four? Of course, Crystal Palace, they received a beating at Southampton, weren't they, in the week? But of course, they beat Chelsea, didn't they, last weekend. surprise win. Arsenal beat West Ham, didn't they, in the week? 3-0, yeah, hammered them. So, Wenger, would it be his last game at Selhurst Park?
No, it won't. No, he apparently he wants to stay another 2 years. So, and he's going to have a meeting with himself.
there's been rumours that the best option for Barcelona is Wenger.
Yeah.
Right. Or PSG.
Do you ever watch the last Smith and Jones where the guy was interviewing himself? That's exactly what it is.
Well, I did a funny one where they were organised a march, didn't they, at the match the other night against West Ham, but only 10 turned up for the march. So they had to cancel it, like a Wenger out march, you know. I mean, it's bad. I don't think they should really keep.
No, he's a legend.
It's not like you're going to come across another Ferguson or Wenger anytime soon.
No, not unless you start getting your coaching badges.
Unless they go and get Di Canio
from West Ham,
they could get Mourinho. Anio. Anyway, hell. Palace or Arsenal?
Palace for me, I think. Yeah, they were lucky to get a draw against
Tom
last week.
Arsenal for me.
I think it'll be Arsenal as well.
I'm going to go for a draw. There you go. Okay. So one of us. Right, we've been very jovial here today because there's weather and spring upon us and it's April and we've been here for ages. So thank you all for listening in. We're going to finish off with a piece of music that has missed our music maestro.
Yeah,
Pateri,
it's an old 70s act. The great Mark Bolan, T-Rex and Children of the Revolution.
And what track is that, do you know?
I don't know what track it is, Jerry, but I'm sure you can figure it out.
I have to read then first.
Is it the Man United track, sixth?
It's the same as the amount of goals Chelsea are going to score on this weekend, 3.
Track 0.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's good for my voice, but you won't fool the children of the revolution. Now you won't fool the children of the revolution.
On the radio, it's all on the Soccer Show.